sinners, come everybody in between. We come into the house of the Lord today to celebrate and glorify his name. If you're able, would you stand as we sing together our call to worship, Mighty is our God. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ today. If you're a visitor with us, we especially extend a welcome to you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You can find those on the back of the pew in front of you. You can also find there our prayer cards. We do have a very active prayer team. And if you have any needs that you'd like to share or praises that you'd like to share, we encourage you to write those down and place those in the offering plate today as well. Today, as we gather for worship, we have just one request. We have one call that's been placed out from our Sunday school team, from Michael and John. They have asked if there's anybody at all who's interested in working with preschoolers during our Sunday school time. They do need a few more volunteers to step forward to work during that Sunday school hour with our preschoolers, and the goal that they are striving for is to find 4 or 5 so they have enough to have a pretty good rotation going. If you're interested, raise your hand, Michael. Michael in the back. Or John, you can see John right here after the service. Don't rush right now. I know you're in a hurry. Don't rush up to him just yet. But wait till after the service. And that's a wonderful opportunity to minister to those youngest of our flock. Today we have before us set the Lord's table. It is his table set for us. It's not the table of First Baptist, it's not my table, it's the Lord's. And he invites all to come to share into this memory, this call to remembrance in his body and in his blood. I was reminded today when I was a teenager at First Baptist Church in Whiteville, North Carolina, hearing two little children behind me on Communion Sunday. And one of them whispered to the other one and said, "I'm starving." And the other one said, "Yeah, and we don't eat till the end." So may this table be inviting to you. May it spur the hunger of your memory. We don't eat till the end, so you have many, many moments in this service to prepare your heart, to prepare your mind, to prepare your spirit, to share in this powerful symbol of our Lord and Savior Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us. Let us continue to worship.
This morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is even mindful, ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works. in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we gather here as your family at First Baptist Elon, in awe of who you are, in awe of what you've done, and in awe of what you are going to do this day. We gather in anticipation, knowing that the Spirit has descended upon us, and we are ready to be filled by the Spirit, filled by your word, filled by the song, filled by the table this day. Father God, we give thanks for the privilege and honor it is to gather in your presence, and we hope that what we sing and what we say and what we think are pleasing to you. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's join our voices together in a time of praise as we sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," and "Stand up and bless the Lord." Please rise as we sing.
Corey Lindsay to come up now and share a word of highlight about our upcoming pictorial directory opportunity.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today, I just wanted to make everybody aware of the committee that's putting together the pictorial directory and the important dates we want to mark on our calendar. The photography dates are going to be September 25th, 26th, and 28th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And then starting next week, August 23rd, after the service, we'll start signing up people for the scheduled photography dates for your appointment times. We'll also be scheduling those appointments the following two Sundays, August 30th and September 6th. So just please make sure everybody is aware of these important dates and so that we can make sure everybody gets included in the directory this year. Thanks.
By the table starting next Sunday to sign up your family for these picture times. At this time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Oh, got a little bit of energy up here. How many more days till school starts? Do you know? A week. 1 week. 1 week lasts to celebrate summer before school is here, right? Got a big week planned? Watch TV. That sounds big. That sounds big. Honesty. What? Play the Wii. Play video games and watch TV. There you go. We got it all covered. I have a question for you, and it's a question you probably haven't really thought about before. Why do we eat food? First off, wait, please, before you give me an answer, have you ever thought about that before? Have you ever thought that question? Man, why do I eat food? Don't you know we would have a lot more free time to play video games and watch TV if we didn't eat, right? We would die without it, without food. You are correct. What else? Why do we eat? I stumped them this morning. How? So we won't get sick. All right, so we don't die. We don't want to get sick. So you can get healthy if you are sick, or you can remain healthy. Maybe we need to do something. All right, I need y'all to stand up real quick. All right? Everybody ever done a jumping jack? You know how to do a jumping jack? All right, I'm going to teach you. All right, spread out. Don't want you to hit anything. I don't want to knock the communion elements over. That would be kind of bad. All right, ready. Can't be on the step. Jumping jack. Stand straight right this. Jump and down. Jump and down. Jump and down. Jump and down. Congregation, join me. Jump and down. Jump and down. Jump and down. Now stop. Did you realize you could not have done that if you had not eaten? Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know that? See, food gives us energy so we can do lots of fun things. Run around, have a good time, do jumping jacks. It gives us energy when we go to school so we can think real hard and do our very best. It gives us energy so we can play with our brothers and sisters. It gives us energy. But if we do not eat, all right, young, sit back down. Now, if we do not eat food, what happens is we get sick. And then if we don't eat food for a long time, we die. See, food is important. Some people say food is what we call life-giving. It gives us life. It gives us energy to do what we can do. Did you know that Jesus talked a lot about food? Did you know the last couple weeks when we've come up here in children's sermon time, we've talked about food? A couple weeks ago, we talked about a loaf of bread in my backpack. Last week, we talked about Oreos. You remember that, right? I know y'all remember that. Well, today, we're talking about food because of this table right here. Now, I know y'all saw it when you walked in. You saw the bread. You saw the cups. And we're going to have communion just a little bit after Pastor Mason preaches. But in Scripture, in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Now, we just said that when we eat food, it gives us energy, it gives us life. What happens when we consume Jesus? Now, I'm not talking literal here. I'm not talking about eating Jesus.
But what I'm talking about is when we let Jesus come into us, what happens? What happens when we let Jesus into our lives? Less bad things happen? You're right. We change. That's right. What else? What happens when we let Jesus into our lives? We're more like Him, which is exactly what He wants. We start thinking like Him. We start talking like Him. We start acting like Him. And guess what? In the end, we become just like Him. Because that's what we want. That's why we do this morning. We are reminded of what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed His life for us. And He gave us this meal as a reminder of that sacrifice. And knowing that when we become like Him, we are changed. So a little bit later on, when we come to this time, I want you to remember that when we do this, this changes us. It gets us more like Him. So we start thinking and speaking and acting like Him. He's life-giving. He's eternal life-giving. That's who Jesus is. Let's stand up. Let's have a word of prayer real quick.
Father, I am thankful for these young people who have so much energy and so much life. And Father, I'm thankful for You giving us a simple element, just like bread, that can remind us of how much life we can have when we consume You, when we let You into our hearts. Father, I just ask that these children continue to grow closer to You and allow them to start thinking and speaking and acting like You. That's our goal. We lift that up today. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. That helps us always to learn more about Jesus. And that leads us right into the song we're going to sing. Scripture, Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Let's sing together the hymn, More About Jesus.
Father, as we come to this time where we return a portion of those blessings that You have given us, we are reminded of how generous You truly are. The table this morning reminds us of the sacrifice. And Father, as we return a portion of those gifts that You have blessed us with, may they go to continue to build Your kingdom, to support Your kingdom, and spread the message of Your kingdom, not just in this place, but in this community, in this state, in this nation, and in this world. We turn these portions over to You. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Margaret, for stepping in and filling in for Laura this week, and for the choir, your beautiful music. Let me start by asking you a question this morning. What is the hungriest you've ever been in your life? And more than likely, none of you have ever been starving, though we probably all have said, I'm starving. And none of you have ever been in danger of death from lack of food, but I know you've had a moment in your life where you were hungrier than you ever have been before. When was that moment? It's kind of a tricky question because I've gone days without food before. That's another sermon and another story. But that's not the hungriest I've ever been, because a lot of it's psychological, isn't it? And a lot of it comes down to, do you think you have access to food or not? And if you are in a moment where you're kind of hungry, but you know there's no chance of getting anything to eat, that's when you feel the hungriest. When I was about 18 or 19 years old, I'd applied for this position of youth and college minister at Memorial Baptist Church in Buies Creek, North Carolina. And they said, well, we'll let you know. I always take that to mean no thanks. And so I was down with the Baptist Student Union at Fort Caswell, and we were leading a youth retreat for North Carolina Baptist. And I got this message that a whitehead called me. It was actually Dr. David Whiteman, but they called him Whitehead. And so I called Whitehead back, and I said, what's going on? How can I help you? And he said, well, things didn't work out with the candidate we liked, so, you know, we thought we would ask if you'd come in and take an interview, and if you could do it tomorrow, that would be great. And I said, okay. And I jumped on it, and I said, okay, I do the math in my head to get from Fort Caswell to Buies Creek in time for this interview. I'm going to have to get up earlier. I'll just skip breakfast and I'll drive straight there. And so I did. And I got there and, you know, just loved the people, loved the church. They gave me a 3-hour interview with the parents and the search committee. And I was exhausted and I thought, shoo, that's over with, that's done. And they said, now we'd like to take you over to the youth house. The youth have some questions for you too. Another hour, 2 hours passed by. By the way, the youth asked much better questions. The parents wanted to know things like, well, what kind of fun activities are you going to do? The youth want to know, one of them asked me, this is no joke, what is your theology of youth ministry? Just like that. And so after talking to them for an hour or two, it was all said and done, and there was no more questions to be asked, and so it was time for me to leave. I thought, well, I can go to Whiteville. My dad's making his world-famous spaghetti tonight. So Whiteville from Buies Creek's not too bad of a drive, or as we call it, paschetti. So I was going to get some of this delicious dish. I didn't have breakfast. I actually had driven through lunch, and they didn't even feed me, y'all. No supper. So I was like, I can make it. You know, I can get there in plenty of time to have a wonderful supper. They did give me a small check. They wrote it out. A little stipend for gas. I don't remember how much it was. Probably seemed like $1 million to me. But I folded away and put it in my wallet, and I get in the car thinking about spaghetti. Haven't eaten all day, thinking about spaghetti. And I get to about Dunn, which is only about 15 minutes down the road, and I am starving. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a credit card. I don't have a debit card. I am a college student, so I have absolutely no cash whatsoever. I could not dream of driving from Caswell to Buies Creek into Whiteville with not a single dollar in my wallet. But there I was. But I had that check. So all the banks are closed. So I think, well, I'll run in here to the grocery store. Can you please cash this check for me? No, we don't do that. I go to a gas station. Can you cash this? No, we don't do that. I went to some random business, and I'm not even really sure what they sell. Of course, no, we don't do that. So now it sets into the mind, I have no access to food. I cannot get food. There is no food. The world is going to end. I am starving. But I got that spaghetti. So I start driving again. I make it down the road a little bit further, and I stop again at a gas station, a grocery store. Can you cash this check? No, we don't do that. And so I drive further. I make it to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that's when it happened. I thought I saw in the corner of my eye a squirrel in the woods, and survival instincts kicked in. And I thought, I've done this before. I know how to make a squirrel trap. I'll make a squirrel trap. I can make fire without matches. I'll catch a squirrel. I'll skin him. I'll gut him. I'll cook him. And I will eat squirrel on the side of the interstate, I-95 South. But of course, that ain't going to happen. So I get in the car, and I drive a little bit further. I get down around Lumberton. I'm not that far from home, but that overwhelming sense of need sets in. And so I pull into one last gas station to see if they'll cash this check. And when I opened the car door, there was something shiny on the ground. It was a quarter and a penny. Oh. 26 cents worth of ram in the bush, baby. It was right there waiting for me. I snatched it up. I looked around. No one seemed to want it. Okay, I'm going on into the store, and I start looking for something that I can buy for 26 cents. There ain't a whole lot you can buy for 26 cents. But there it was, Swiss cake roll. A ho-ho. 25 cents at the time with tax. It was 26 on the dot. I put that down on the counter. I slapped that 26 cents worth of gold. And then I made the most pitiful face I could make, and I rubbed my throat just like this, and I said, "Can I have a glass of water?" And she gave me one. And I snuck back to the car just like this. I just know how stupid I must have looked. I got in the car. I put the cup down. I tore open the package. And y'all, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I looked left and I looked right to make sure no one was going to take it. And then I ate it, and oh, it was good. Then I did this preacher thing. Preachers do this to themselves all the time. This thought occurred to me, this question occurred to me, and I thought, why am I this excited? Why am I this hungry? Why don't I get this excited and this hungry for a little bit of Jesus? I thought about this passage, actually, in fact, for this morning, and it was a very convicting moment in my life when I was forced to ask myself, why do I not exert that much energy and excitement into seeking after Jesus? Why am I not that hungry for a little more God in my life? Why don't I get that passionate about worship or reading the Word? Why don't I get to a point where if I've been away from prayer for a long time, I start getting desperate, looking for a place that I can sit down and get alone and get on my knees and pray? Jesus gives us this challenge, and he's been giving it to us for the last few weeks, about hunger and thirst and consuming and forcing us to wrestle with, what do we consume? What are we passionate about? What are we hungry for in life? And in John's Gospel, chapter 6, we get somewhat of a climax to this conversation about the fact that he is the bread of life. And as David said to our children, without bread, without food, without that sustenance, we do not have life. We die. And so Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give them for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. There has been, as we discussed on Thursday a couple weeks ago in praise and prayer time, this ongoing debate. What in the world is Jesus talking about here? The listeners didn't get it. How can he say, eat his flesh and drink his blood? Is he a cannibal? Has he lost his mind? He can't mean that, we know. And so Christians throughout the ages have wrestled with a meaning for this statement, consume me, eat me. We talked about transubstantiation, the idea that somehow, miraculously, this little bit of bread and this little bit of fruit of the vine turns into the actual, real flesh and blood of Jesus. But that's troubling for a lot of people. How can that be? This is not a magic meal. And so others have said, well, no, it's not transubstantiation. It doesn't transform, but it's con or with. Consubstantiation, it's there. Jesus is with it. He's mixed in, but there's still real bread and still real juice or wine. But the Baptists and other Protestants have said, you know, we don't think it's either one. We think you're completely missing what Jesus is talking about here. We think that Jesus is not even really talking about the bread and the cup so much as he is talking about something spiritual and significant and dynamic in our lives that changes us and transforms us, to which the Lord's Supper only points toward. It's not the meal that does anything, but it's what it symbolizes. And that is this invitation to consume Jesus, to be hungry for him and to consume him into our lives. Think about how this symbol works. If I eat a little bit of this bread and I drink a little bit of this juice, that stuff is going to be absorbed by my body and it's going to be transported to every fiber of my being and give me life and energy and strength. And what Jesus is saying is, if you take me in, let me into your life in such a way that I will nourish every fiber of who you are and give you energy and strength and life. That's not a call to just be a Christian. The problem with many Christians in our world today is that many Christians in the church today are not also disciples. You might scratch your head and say, Mason, what are you talking about now? Those are the same thing. They're not. They're not the same thing. The disciple knows that I live and die by Christ's lordship over my life and by following him, by being hungry for him and consuming him. Being a Christian many times is nothing more than a cultural reality. I'm an American. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. So I'm a Christian. For others, they might take it a little bit deeper and say, well, it's about beliefs. I believe certain things about Jesus, so I'm a Christian. I believe certain doctrines, a certain truth, certain scripture passage, so I'm a Christian. For others, it's about membership. I'm a member of the First Baptist Church. I go every Sunday, or I go at least once a month, or however often, but I've got that place of identity. And I say, there, see, that defines me, membership there. But Jesus, do you know this? He never said, come and be my Christians. He said, come and be my disciples. He said, come and follow me. To be a disciple is to surrender one's life completely to the lordship of a master. That's the definition of disciple. To submit one's life completely to the lordship of a master. And Jesus is the great master. And what this meal calls us to do, it causes us to do a lot of things. And we highlight different ones, different times we share. But one thing it should always do is remind us we are called to have that hunger for Him. To give Him lordship over our lives. To follow Him means to follow Him with all of our energy and strength, His teachings. You cannot be a disciple passively. You cannot be a disciple through mama and daddy or grandma and grandpa. You cannot be a disciple by membership in a church. And you cannot be a disciple just because you're not anything else. For this meal is a wake-up call. On the night that Jesus was arrested, He's gathered there with His disciples sharing in the Passover meal. And when He takes the bread and gives thanks, He breaks it. And He says, "This is My body given for you. Take and eat." And so day after day, hour after hour, the invitation from Christ is, "Here I am. Follow Me. Here I am. Love Me. Here I am. Consume Me in your life." In the same way, He took the cup. And having blessed it, He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My own blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of Me." A covenant is a binding submission. We submit to the lordship of Christ. As we share in these symbols of His body and blood, would you pause for a moment of silent confession and to pray from your heart? And after I close our time, I'll invite our deacons to come forward as we share in this memorial. Would you pray with me? O Lord, Jesus said that to eat the flesh and blood is to abide in Him and for Him to abide in us. Teach us, Lord, to open our lives to His lordship and leadership, to submit to Him daily, to be desperate for Him in our lives, to be hungry, to be starving for Him. Seeking Him with all our strength, with all the mental power we can possess. And, O Lord God, King of the universe, we give You thanks for these symbols of bread and cup that spark our imaginations and deepen our faith, that stir us to righteousness, that call forth a deeper faith and following You, that we would hunger, for You are the bread of life, come down from heaven to give life forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Deacons, would you come as we share in this meal? We invite you to receive the bread first. And then we'll invite all to eat together at the same time, and then the cup. And again, we'll all drink together at the same time. Would you serve the one who is seated next to you? Christ. Would you receive this benediction? May the Lord of light and life shine upon you, the bread of heaven, always calling you out, calling you forth, calling you forward with a hunger for Christ, and a knowledge of where to find Him, to receive life everlasting. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture tells us to stand. They went out with a hymn.